And joining me on the line is the director in the HIV/AIDS, STI and TB unit at the Human Science Research Council. That's Dr. Mbumi Zungu. Sorry about that, Mbumi. Good morning and thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Africa, and thank you for inviting me.
We're reflecting this morning on the South African National HIV Prevalence, Incidence, Behavior and Communication Survey that annually gives us an insight, I suppose, into the sexual safety practices of South Africans. And unfortunately, once again, it reads that there's a plateau, if you like, a leveling as far as the consistent use of condoms in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be low. Or am I looking for miracles here?
No, you were not expecting miracles, Africa. We have invested so much around condom use. As you know, the government distributes millions of condoms annually. These are female and male condoms, and they are distributed for free. So people have a choice in terms of what they need to do. And based on what we saw in 2012, we began to worry about condom use, and government, I think, put other initiatives to improve condoms. We talk about a Max condom. We've even seen a female condom also being improved from that big condom that we used to have that people used to complain about to a condom that is more compact and looks even better than what we had. So it's not, you know, a wishing for a miracle, but we are hoping that the investment that we've made in terms of awareness and also the investment in providing these condoms will lead to people using condoms. But unfortunately, where we are sitting right now is at 38.9%. It's a slight increase from 36.2% that we saw in 2012, but it's still very low across the population. That is 15 and above.
And do we know why that is the case, Mbumi? What is stopping people from picking up a condom and using it? Because I do know that the government, certainly in the last 10 years, has invested a lot into making sure that free access to condom is quite widespread.
Exactly, Africa. I think one of the reasons, I'm just going to give a few and then we can discuss those. I think the one that is always on top of the list of why people don't use condom is trust. People often feel that when they are in a relationship that they feel they can trust their partner so that they would stop using condoms because there's trust. There's also an issue of fear. And fear, you see it in relationship where there is an age and a power dynamic. These are relationships where people sometimes exchange money for sex and or even material goods. You know, the relationships that we call amablesa, about the sacrifice and so on. So that's where there's also a dynamic where younger women are not able to negotiate condom. There's also condom fatigue. You know, people become tired of using condoms in their relationship. There's unplanned sexual encounters, so where a person hasn't brought a condom, but they go ahead anyway. Sometimes people don't use condom because they've used what we call mind-altering substances. That could be alcohol. That can also be drugs. And also beliefs, you know, beliefs, what I was talking about, trust. What does a condom represent to you? So some people believe that a condom, you know, interferes with intimacy and may suggest that a person doesn't trust you. The length of the relationship is another issue. So the longer people are together, the more relaxed they become. So they stop using condoms. The desire to reproduce. We all want babies. We all want children. Not maybe all, some of us. And also marital status. What we found over the years, if you look at our trend data, you'll find that married people or those that say that they are having sex with a regular partner are less likely to use condoms. There's also a preference for what people call flesh-to-flesh or squon sex, that is sex without a condom. There, I think what comes in are issues of friction, people will say, I don't feel anything, and issues like that. And then the last one is that people fear pregnancy more than STIs. So people will use methods like the injection or pills, but then they don't use condoms. So there's an awareness that I want to prevent pregnancy, but not a concern around the fact that someone can pick an STI from a sexual encounter.
And of course, as data suggests, it's the age group of 16 to 25 that is most affected by all of those factors, right? Often it's an older male that they're in a sexual partnership yep. with, who often will be paying for the school fees and the uniform and their weaves yep. and everything else that's important to them, and therefore will have no power whatsoever to negotiate the use of condoms. We know that there are a number of people who are, it's an increasing number, sadly, of people presenting themselves to healthcare facilities to demand abortions, which is yet another, I suppose, testimony or evidence that, in fact, there's a hell of a lot of unprotected sex that is happening in this country. How do we turn it around?
How do we turn it around? I think, you know, there's a lot of discussion around how do we turn it around. But I think that the most important thing is that behavior, you are the person who can change your own behavior. The government is investing in information. It's provided condoms. We've moved to even other ways that we can protect ourselves. We now talk about PrEP. You know, a person can drink something that will reduce their risk of being infected. Awareness. People need to screen. People need to talk about these things in their relationships. People need to be upfront, you know, to disclose where it's needed for them to disclose. And more than anything, I think as South Africans, we need to make a shift. I think there's always this focus on what government is doing instead of us looking at even our own behavior. What is it that I'm doing that is putting me at risk? What are the things that I need to change? We also need to look at the issue of gender, violence and all those issues, because they come into play. When people can't negotiate safe sex in their relationships, it then becomes difficult. And I like that you focus on that group, the 15 to 24, because that's where really we're seeing a peak in even new infections, and also HIV prevalence is also high in that group. So we need to work at making sure that the relationships that we are in, we talk openly about sex and the risk and you know, past history and where we want to go and be prepared, I guess. It takes preparation and telling yourself that, you know, I'm not prepared to have sex without a condom. And I think to appeal also to our male counterparts that, you know, they need to assist our females by protecting themselves and also them.
Bumi, parting question for me. We have seen an incredible number of men going in for circumcision, which I think is a wonderful, wonderful achievement yep. from the campaign yep. by the Department of Health, because we know yep. for a fact that the high concentration of receptor cells for HIV that are contained in the foreskin, if you like, of the men, if you remove that, you reduce the probability of obviously transmitting or acquiring HIV. Has that been a factor? And add to that question, the factor of treatment. A lot of people now have access to the one pill a day, I think, sort of regime that the government has put in place. Has that, which means then when Bumi is sort of diagnosed with HIV, it doesn't mean that she's dying in 6 months' time, as was the case about a decade, 15 years ago. Do those factors then result in us being slightly careless around sexual practices?
I think you've raised two issues that you know, has a role in actually even what we are seeing in terms of the epidemic. We believe that the reduction in new infections that we observed in the survey that we're talking about, it's actually because more people are on treatment. So from our survey, we found that about 4 million people are exposed to ART. So ART also plays a role of prevention. So when people are virally suppressed, then we have a good outcome in terms of reducing the risk of infection. So that's a good thing. Yes, condom use or circumcision has also increased. So from where we were sitting in 2012, we have increased the number of men who are circumcised. So those are positive things. Yes, I think there is sometimes a relaxation, the belief that we've moved from HIV being that a disease that you have and it will kill you, to something that we can control. So I think that is what we need to be focusing on in terms of, you know, it's still something that you need to worry about. You still need to prevent it, even with all the other things that we have to fight. we still need to be focusing on that. And I think, you know, if we look at the risk compensation, the studies that are looking at risk compensation is where you have an intervention, and because of that intervention, you then expect people to display riskier sexual behavior. All the studies that have been done around circumcision, looking at risk compensation circumcision, are not showing that people who are circumcised actually then behave in a way that puts others and themselves at risk, same as art. So I think we really need to be pushing for those interventions and making sure that as we have implemented test and treat, people go and test and immediately go into treatment. And also I want to use the opportunity to make a call to people maybe who were diagnosed long time ago with HIV to say, please go to your nearest clinic. You don't need now to have a viral I see the count of 500. The minute you test HIV positive, you can be put on treatment. And it actually helps with your health, prolongs your health, and it also protects the partner that you might have who might even not have HIV.
Exactly. We'll leave it there. It's an important conversation. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Mbumi Zungu, the director in the HIV AIDS, STI and TB unit in the Human Science Research Council.